Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, but whoever you may be, I know we all share one thing in common. We all want to know the truth about what's really going on in this crazy year called 2020. You know, folks, is the mainstream media really the fourth estate of this once great nation? Does the mainstream media really have our best interests as a society and a people at heart? Or do they have an ulterior motive? Is it work behind the scenes? Well, be sure to stay tuned to find out. Now, of course, we're going to build upon what we covered last week concerning this war between the British and the French Freemasons and how Lucifer's on the top of it all. And we're going to unpack this verse from Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17, which says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." So be sure to stay tuned, like I said, to find out the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's now new 9/11 events, as I call them, unfolding on steroids while in slow motion. But remember, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. So folks, right now, I'd like to get started with our freaky-deaky news update. Thank you, Sister Kathy. And of course, we start with the coronavirus update. Now, you know, over the past couple weeks, I've played a few clips from some well-known dystopian writers from the recent past. We listened to some warnings from Huxley, and we've listened to some warnings from George Orwell. But have you ever heard of their contemporary, Ernest Junger? Now, he wrote a book called The Worker. And I found this article on Summit News. It was published on the 11th of September. And it was titled, "Author of Dystopian Classics Predicted Face Masks to Enforce Conformity 70 Years Ago." Now, this man, Junger, he wrote this book called The Worker. And what I did is I read this. I never heard of this guy. And I'm telling you, folks, it's chilling. But the enforcement measures that people are being subjected to today in certain parts of the country with these face masks that have been proven ineffective, it's chilling. This writer, he goes on to say that agents of the state, people who control the sheeple, as I call them, becoming more and more dehumanizing and draconian in their efforts to enforce compliance. And that's precisely the scenario that was envisioned by Junger back in the 1932 classic, The Worker. Now, in this article from Summit News, they referenced a more comprehensive article written by Thomas Crew titled "The Dystopian Age of the Mask." And he went on to write that the eradication of all individuality is the running theme in all dystopian literature. And I have to say, amen, Mr. Crew. That's exactly what it is. So if you'd like that article, it's out on thecritic.co.uk, "The Dystopian Age of the Mask." Check it out, folks. It's great. So we know Huxley wrote The Brave New World in 32.
and he had the alphas and the betas, the epsilons, and you were essentially placed into a class of people based on your intellectual capability. And the epsilons, they were semi-morons. And I say most of our sheeple today are there. They were, in fact, genetically engineered to be such. And then Orwell, of course, had his dystopian novel, 1984, and that was written, about 16 years later? And he had the Thought Police, Newspeak. That's probably the best known. And then there was this other one called We, written way back in 1921. And they numbered people. But there was one characteristic similar to all of this dystopian literature, and that was the eradication of the individual. And that's essentially what we're seeing going on right now in this political debate. Second level life. You know, right above subsistence living, we have politics. And then above that, we have history and looking behind the scenes to see what actually makes history happen. And then behind that, you know, we have the eight veils that we've pierced. And I've looked at that in some articles and messages in the past. But nonetheless, on this primal level of politics, I think that's what we have right now. The collective versus the individual versus Republican. And really, in some ways, it's so sophomoric, folks. But that's what it is. Now, in every one of these dystopian stories, you have an outsider telling the story. They're, quote-unquote, woke to the commodity of this standardized groupthink life, so to speak, of their lot in life and their fellow humans. So you had Winston in Orwell's 1984. And Huxley wrote in his dystopian novel, Brave New World, no offense is so heinous as unorthodox behavior. So these novels, they focus on societies with a tyrannical bent, okay, for uniformity. And isn't that what we're seeing today? Isn't that why we have these face mask debates? Isn't that why we have all these people yelling at diners on the cafe tables along the sidewalks, drinking their beer, shouting in their faces with a bullhorn? Isn't that all about compliance? Show the sign! Show the sign! Isn't that what all these protests are about? And that's the central message of a dystopian novel, uniformity. But this great nation wasn't formed on uniformity, folks. So there were a lot of these novels written all at the advent of the Industrial Age. And that's kind of interesting. And at the same time, you had the onset of the Soviet Union and then Nazi Germany. So you had this crossroads of technology and oppressive government all coming together, perfectly poised for this compliant state. Now, there's a lot in this article. I don't have time to cover it, but I encourage you to read it, because it'll really help you put the pieces of the puzzle together. So I'm just going to end with saying that the level of compliance that governments and the media to indoctrinate the sheeple with, the epsilons, is getting to the point where we're not going to need the police anymore. It's going to be done by social pressures. Your social score. Do you want to have your card or your chip recharged with economic units, economic credit units, so that you can go and buy some food, pay your rent, pay your utilities? We're going to have this public cowering in the corner, whipped into a frenzy to be obedient. And they're doing a great job on it. And behind it is the media, the mainstream media, the fourth estate. That's what I've been talking about. Hey, folks, did you hear this next one? This was a priest. I think he was down in the Carolinas. Don't quote me on that. And there's a YouTube video that, since his sermon on Sunday, it's gone viral. Father Altier exposes the lies of the coronavirus pandemic. And it's about a 20-minute. And what I want to do is play maybe the first 4 or 5 minutes for you. And I think it's going to blow your mind. It really is. So this is, 6 minutes. But please, folks, listen to this. And it reminds me of when I used to go to the Catholic Church. My first 26 years of my life. So you have that organ music, you have that bad sound system. It's all there. But listen to what he says. It's everything I've been saying on this show since early in the year. Listen to Father Altier.
first reading today, God tells the prophet Ezekiel that he has appointed Ezekiel as the watchman for the house of Israel. And therefore, Ezekiel is to speak to the people whatever it is that God commands him to speak. Not exactly an easy task that is given to Ezekiel. Because as he is told, if I tell you to tell this person whatever, and you don't tell him, and they die that way, I'm going to hold you responsible for their death. If you tell them and they die and they don't repent, well, you're not responsible. The prophets had to speak the word of God. We think of prophets as being somebody who predict the future. That's about that much of what a prophet is about. If you look over and over again at what the prophets say, they will preface it with, "Thus says the Lord." It may be calling people to repentance. It may be calling people to change things. It may be telling the people that something wonderful is going to happen. Whatever it is, they have to speak the truth. Because God is truth. You and I are also prophets. Jesus is a priest, a prophet, and a king, and you and I are baptized into Jesus. So we're priest, prophet, and king. That doesn't mean that you necessarily have to get up and start preaching to people. But I do. I have an obligation to stand here and speak the truth, even when people don't like to hear it. So here we go. We have been lied to. We have been lied to in a huge way. So let's get the facts. What I'm going to do is rehearse a number of things that you probably already know in order to get to the point of where we need to go. First of all, since last winter, we have had this virus running around. It is a real virus. It is a man-made virus. The work had begun in a laboratory in North Carolina, and they shipped it to China to finish the work. And it was released so that people would get sick. All this is being done on purpose. Now, in case you're not sure about that, and again, everything that I'm going to say today, please don't take my word for it. Look it up. Do the work. Look it up. I have no desire to lie to you. I have no desire to try to blow smoke over your head. I want to tell you the truth, because that's what God is going to hold me responsible for. So there was something last October. It was called Event 201. Event 201 was a United Nations, along with a number of multinational corporations, that got together and had a simulation of an international coronavirus pandemic. Imagine that. You'd think that they knew it was coming or something. But anyway, you can look it all up. They've got all their deliberations up there. One of the things that they said that they wanted to do was what they called flood the zone. And that's their words, not mine. Flood the zone meant we want to get the message out that we want people to hear, and we do not want anything else being heard. They have succeeded in doing that, because every doctor, every scientist, every whomever who gets up and says something different than the narrative has been taken off of Facebook, taken off of YouTube, taken down from every place else. Remember, we have freedom of speech. Well, unless it goes against the narrative. So they had an agenda. They don't even try to hide it. I said, it's right there, Event 201. You can look it up. And amazingly, this has gone exactly the way that they said it was going to go. So there's more to come. It's all there, but we're not going to get into that today. Then as time went along, they said we needed to lock everything down. Remember that was to flatten the curve so that the hospitals weren't overwhelmed. No hospital was overwhelmed. In fact, there was hardly anybody in most of the hospitals. Yeah, there was the one hospital out in New York City that you saw, and that's because they took every single person who might have had the coronavirus in New York City and brought them to the same hospital. Think of all the millions of people, they all came to the same place. So that place was crowded. No place else was. But remember, that was supposed to be for 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And then they kept coming up with new scenarios as to why we need to keep it going.
Wow. Folks, it goes on for about another 15 minutes, and he covers everything we've covered on the show, including the vaccines and how dangerous they are and how one of them actually changes your DNA. And he went viral with this. So he spoke to a normal congregation, what, a couple hundred people, maybe, and it's been viewed over 300,000 times since he gave this sermon on Sunday. Flood zone. That's the plan that came out of event 201 by John Hopkins last fall. And that's exactly what the media is doing. So what's going on with the media? Does the Fourth Estate really have our best interests at heart? Or do they have another agenda? What's going on there? Well, here's a recent, news piece was on, where was this? This was CNN, I believe. Let me call it up here. Yeah, it was Jake Tapper and one of the Trump administrators, Peter Navarro. And they're talking about the whole response from the Trump administration. And I just want you to hear this clip. It's about three and a half, four minutes long. And then I want to make a few comments on it. But just listen to the tone between Tapper and Navarro.
Serious pandemic. And the president is absolutely right. What he needed to do is be calm, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst, and attack the virus on these four vectors: PPE, therapeutics, vaccines, testing. And what we did.
Okay.
And so, look, we
have heard government officials say that the president should have been straightforward with the American people, and he was not. Not just Democrats, by the way. I want you to take a listen. Here's Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, followed by Democratic Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey. Take a listen to them.
The American people can take hard facts, and he had an obligation as president to be straightforward with them.
If we had known that earlier, we would have shut the state meaningfully earlier. It's inconceivable to me that we wouldn't have been able to save lives as a result of that.
All right, may I respond?
Bipartisan
now,
consensus.
May
bipartisan consensus. Yes, the president should have been straightforward.
Can I respond here, Jake? Okay. Yep. Go back to February and March. We're in the fog of war from the China virus. There are competing views as to whether this is simply the flu or whether this is very serious.
What are the competing views?
And we go through. Hang on. The science. Look, you had Nancy Pelosi dancing with scarves in Chinatown at the end of February, saying, come on down. You had de Blasio and Cuomo in March saying, come on down. You
Why
had
wasn't
Dr.
the president
Fauci
straightforward
saying
with the American
that there
people?
Was low. He Why? Was straightforward.
No, he wasn't.
There was. Look, Jake, I'm telling you
just answer
what
the,
our strategy
is. A very basic
is.
Question. Right. You want to talk about what you want to talk about.
You're cherry picking.
I'm not cherry picking. On February 7th, he knew that it was in the air, that it was five times deadlier than the flu.
But at the same time,
two weeks later, he's saying the flu is deadlier than the coronavirus.
Jake,
Why wasn't he honest?
You just don't want to listen, Jake. You just
I want you to answer
listen.
The question.
I am answering your question. You just don't like the answer. The answer is, in February, all the way through the middle of March, when the World Health Organization finally said there was a pandemic, and China was hiding the information. Finally, that's when we knew that there was a pandemic. And you know what, Jake? We were at that point prepared for the worst. In February, we were moving mountains on PPE, therapeutics, testings, and vaccines so that in the time that we needed those things, we got those things. And it's a miracle what we've been doing on vaccine development. We have a possibility of getting a vaccine by the end of the year. And I put that right in a memo on February 9th under the advice of the president in terms of getting on this situation, because it might be serious. You can't have it both ways, Jake. You simply
can't. I'm not trying to have it both
ways. In February, nobody knew. No, nobody knew. Not
the
president.
He's
not
February
you,
7th.
Not Nancy Pelosi, not Bill de Blasio.
He knew it was deadlier than the flu, and he was lying to the American people 2 weeks later.
Jake, you're cherry picking.
I'm not cherry picking.
But you could say, look, I think all of this is asked and answered, Jake. Look, here's the thing.
He was not honest with the American people.
You're
not answering the question.
You're not honest with the American people. CNN is not honest with the American people.
Okay.
CNN, you want to go there? I mean,
I said you're not answering the question. Here's the thing. Thank you, Peter Navarro. We just played tape. You didn't answer the question.
No, you can't say that.
You didn't answer the
question repeatedly, Jake. You just didn't like the answer.
Okay, Peter Navarro, thank you so much. I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much. And I would just like to remind the American people watching that the United States has less than 5% of the world's population, and the United States has more than 20% of the world's coronavirus deaths. That is a fact. It does not matter how many times he insults CNN.
Let me clarify what Mr. Tapper is saying. It's not a fact. It's a factoid. We've already seen that these numbers are manipulated, and what was it, 96% of all the deaths had 2.7 on average comorbidities. Serious things like respiratory failure, congestive heart failure, circulatory issues. So, yes, the individual died with COVID-19, but they would have probably died within the next couple months. And I don't want to sound harsh, but that's an example of manipulation with statistics, and that's what the mainstream media is doing. Did you notice how Tapper interrupts every time Peter Navarro was trying to explain what the Trump administration does? And I am not an apologist for the Trump administration. I'm merely showing you the hypocrisy here. So he's using that term, fog of war. And then right away, Tapper interrupts and talks about the compelling views. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi was in Chinatown without a mask in March saying, come on down, celebrate in Chinatown. And de Blasio, he was inviting everybody to New York City in March. There was a lot of confusion at that point. The Trump administration was taking a very balanced approach. Yet you're never going to hear that on the media. And now they're lying with all these statistics, folks. The flu has been proven to be more deadly. 99.8 or 99.7% of all coronavirus cases have had very swift recoveries with virtually no side effects. I can go on and on about this COVID pandering by the media and the manipulation. But now, folks, we've got to move on, because now it's time for our next episode, which is Kabuki Theater.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 elections. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means salt, boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb, kabu meaning to slam or to sway. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the Latin curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity.
That's what it's about, folks. Flattening the curve. The curve of the economy. Because you cannot try with a fiat money system to keep it all together if you have everybody out there spending the money you printed out of thin air. Now, you have to balance the ledger. You have to balance the income statements and balance sheets and all that fun stuff in accounting. But if you have everybody out there spending money that wasn't linked somehow to the GDP, you have hyperinflation. And they can't have that yet because they're not ready. But I'm getting off target, because what I want to talk about this week in the Kabuki Theater episode is all of these wildfires. There was a piece out by Hal Turner. I don't have the date here, but U.S. is under attack. Wildfires all stop at the Canadian border. Yes, folks, if you look at these fire maps right across the United States northern border, you see this amazing reduction to virtually zero as soon as you cross into Canada. So how can that be? Is Canada fireproof? Are their firefighters that much better than ours? Or could it be that what we're seeing in the U.S. are willful acts of people supported by some sort of organization waging an arson war upon this nation? Well, from my perspective, rationally thinking, critically examining, I'd say we're under attack. And folks, it's even being admitted to. Antifa admits that they're drawing attention to climate change by setting these fires. Jeff Accord is an Antifa BLM supporter, and he was caught with a lighter in his hand walking down the highway earlier. What was it, last week, I think? Q13 Fox News reports that there was this fire on this area called Summer Grade in Bonnie Lake, burned more than 800 acres, but it was contained by Thursday to a manageable fire. And this guy calls it in after he lit it. And he's live streaming on Facebook as he reports it to the law enforcement officer. And of course, these men are trained in questioning. And you hear it all unfold. And this guy, Jeff Accord, gets caught in his own lies and then arrested during the Facebook live stream. So there's an example. There's an example of just one case. Now, there's another clip I'd like to play for you of a woman out in Oregon. She catches an arsonist walking off her property with matches in his hand, and she holds him at gunpoint under a citizen's arrest until the police officers arrive. Listen to this woman. It's about a minute-long clip, and there's some profanity in it, so I'm just warning you. But this woman had to defend her property.
Get on the floor!
I didn't know the property.
Did you light anything on fire?
No, ma'am.
What are you doing with those matches on your head?
I smoke.
You smoke? Where are your fucking cigarettes?
You don't know what I have is matches right now.
Did you light anything up on fire?
No.
What's your name?
I'm Corey Allen.
You're gonna stay right there. I got the cops coming.
It's fine.
He's got matches on his hand. Make sure you snap pictures of him. Did you go into the house?
I'm going to the house.
Where did you come up through?
Highway.
What are you doing with the lighter, with the matches?
I smoked a cigarette on Main Highway.
You were smoking a cigarette. That's why you only have matches on your hand.
Yeah, cigarette butts. Just put on, that's all I have. Maybe.
I'm sorry, that clipped a little low in volume, but essentially what happened, this woman was driving down her lane, and just we have out here, we have frontage on your side of the road, the township, and she sees this guy with matches in hand. So what would you do? Folks, people are lighting these. Our article from Al Turner Radio Show, that is what out of touch with reality looks like, and it's referring to Lauren Cannon, Portland FBI special agent in charge, I think they call it. So the special agent in charge in the Portland, Oregon division of the FBI made this statement, and I have to read this to you. This is right from special agent in charge, Lauren Cannon, and listen to this. FBI Portland and local law enforcement agencies have been receiving reports that extremists are responsible for setting wildfires in Oregon. With our state and local partners, the FBI has investigated several such reports and found them to be untrue. Oh, really? You know, it seems to me that these government employees are out of touch with reality, and a lot of them are holdovers from past administration. They're deep state loyalists. They have an agenda, folks. And Agent Cannon seems to be protecting the radical left-wingers. And this declaration that the wildfires on the West Coast and in Oregon in particular are not being set intentionally by Antifa? Come on, folks. We need a reality check here. I'm just going to list a couple local articles that never went national where these Antifa and BLM activists have been connected and arrested for these fires. A man charged with arson in southern Oregon. ABC News. That was, I don't have a date on it, sorry. Man arrested for arson in Oregon City. Another one. That's two from Oregon now. Four people arrested for arson in Oregon and California. The Epoch Times. And there's a list of these things out, folks. Plus, Antifa's actually admitting it. They're dressing like firefighters, and they're going out into the woods and lighting these fires with gasoline and other incendiary devices. Yet our public service, like this special agent in charge for the FBI in Portland, defending Antifa and BLM, who are, in fact, committing these acts of arson. You know, the FBI needs to get a reality check. And then President Trump comes out against the FBI, and he's castigated and maligned by all of the liberal cable news networks. You really think the media, the mainstream media, the fourth estate, is working for our best interests? Maybe they all have an ulterior motive. This one out of Zero Hedge, Paul Craig Roberts. If you don't read his material, I recommend you maybe even sign up for his newsletter. The U.S. and its Constitution have 2 months left. So we know Bob Woodward's bombshell that's come out now about the Secretary of Defense, Mad Dog Mattis, and the Director of the National Intelligence Agency, Don Coats, and their nefarious plan, President Trump, because he's dangerous and unfit. Let me translate just as Mr. Roberts does. When somebody in the deep state says that you're unfit, he's basically saying that you're not going along with their plan. You're dangerous and unfit to their budget, their defense budget. Remember, President Trump's the only president in nearly 40 years that hasn't brought this country into another conflict. So President Trump's not the cold warrior they needed to keep the military-industrial complex going, like Eisenhower warned us about before he departed from office. Remember that very famous speech he gave warning us about the military-industrial complex? And then along comes JFK, and he warns about a conspiracy so deep. And I played that clip on here in the past. And what they do to President Kennedy? They assassinated him with the lone gunman in the book depository. And the Warren Commission report comes out and tells us, yes, that bullet was magic. It went through the governor's body. It went through the president's body. And then it appeared on the gurney during the autopsy in perfectly pristine condition. And we're to believe that. So people started to question that back in the 60s. And the CIA had to contain the information. Remember, they had to flood the media with their narrative and keep out all opposing views. So they coined the phrase conspiracy theory. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. So a lone gunman assassination of another president is going to be too obvious. Just like they keep saying they're going to go back to the moon. They're going to go back to the moon. Well, why don't they? I mean, the technology that took us to the moon the first time was less handheld calculator, according to some of the astronauts. Yet they can't do it again today. We don't have the technology. All the telemetry data has been erased because they needed the tapes. Can you believe that? We're being lied to, folks. So what they're doing now is they try to use all of these false narratives, from the Russian hoax to the impeachment to the Ukraine. How about Ukraine? What happened to the Ukraine? How come we're not examining and investigating President Biden and his son? That stuff's real. How about Uranium One and the deal out in the West where that family, I forgot their name, lost their ranch because members of the Senate, some of the people who opposed President Trump, sold out from under this family, all their grazing lands, and then they evicted this family because there was a huge uranium deposit that they sold to the to Russia. You know, the CIA's Operation Mockingbird at this point can be deemed successful. We've reached a point in this country where a simple statement of obvious truth isn't seen as truth anymore. People are confused. They don't know which way's up. You know, folks, there's two organizations under the umbrella called CIA. There's one element looks at national security from an international perspective. So they have agents and offices all over the world, people in deep cover and all that fun stuff. And then they also have another element that shapes the destiny of this nation. And this was all brought up in a book by a German journalist, Udo Okate. He wrote a book called Bought Journalism, and he shows some of this. But the point I'm trying to make here, folks, is that the mainstream media has been, for probably the last half of a century, controlled by the CIA. That's documented. That's factual. In America today, the liars on these boob tubes have more credibility than the truth tellers, like Father Altier, like I'm trying to help you with. And why? Because they have an agenda they're advancing. Now, here's another example. This was a interview by President Trump's press secretary on the Hannity show. And they're talking about all of these electronic devices that were scrubbed and nothing's happening. That's a destruction of evidence. That's a criminal offense, yet nothing's happening. Listen to this clip.
By the DOJ showing that multiple members of Mueller's team actually wiped their phones clean before turning them over to the inspector general. And tonight, Republicans are rightly demanding answers and suggesting this could amount to anticipatory obstruction of justice. Where's the outrage from the mob, then the media? Imagine if Donald Trump did it. Joining us now, White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany. Okay, well, we had a lot of people get prosecuted by the Mueller mob for process crimes, including obstruction and not handing over emails and lying to Congress, didn't we, Kayleigh?
Yes, we did. And now we learn what Mueller's team was doing. Several dozens, think about that, several dozens of devices returned, damaged, wiped clean, some of them intentionally so. One of those devices was Andrew Weissman's.
Two of the devices were Weissman's,
who was rebuked 9-0 by the Supreme Court for prosecutorial overreach misconduct. And Lisa Page, too, among these offenders. Mueller is saying, we'll prosecute you for process while we, several dozens of us, are engaging in the same kind of obstruction that is uncalled for.
It just shows the depth at which this has gotten out of control, because we also know that they were warned numerous times, even before the first FISA warrant was issued. We know that they were warned by Kathleen Kavalec at the State Department, Bruce Orr. Christopher Steele has an agenda. Hillary paid for it and is not verified. They signed it anyway. When they finally got to the subsource, in other words, the source behind Steele's dirty Russian dossier that Hillary paid for, well, then they found out in January of 2017, the subsource said, no, this was all bar talk. None of this is true. So it was never, now we know it's debunked. So it was never verifiable, which means we never should have had a Mueller investigation, period. But I don't hear from your friends that are in that press room with you regularly hammering you with questions about these issues. Why?
They don't care. How many times have I been asked questions about very legitimate things like Michael Flynn, the injustice done to him, the Obama administration, that Oval Office meeting? Literally during my tenure, we find out that Susan Rice, on the way out the door, writes this email inscribing a meeting from days prior, weeks prior, actually, and says Obama did everything by the book. This was a very curious email. Not asked about that because they simply don't care, and there are two tiers of justice in this country. One for Mueller's team and Hillary Clinton, and another for Michael Flynn and the Trump administration.
Well, I mean.
Okay, I think that's enough there. Anticipatory obstruction of justice. The Republicans are rightly outraged. You know, Sean Hannity does such a good job stirring the pot. And folks, really, does anything ever happen? You hear this, you get all excited, you move on to the next week and you expect some good outcome, and there's just more. Just more. You know, putting this show together this week, I thought about all the strain on the system from all the firefighters and what they're doing now to try to contain these fires out west that I hope I've shown you, or most likely. We didn't even get into the advanced technologies that could be used. The directed energy weapons and all that sort of stuff. Not even talking about that. We're just talking about freaks out in the woods with cigarette lighters and matches and bottles of gasoline. But all of these things, the riots, this congressional investigation ad nauseum, judicial reviews, there's a thing known in business world as margin. So you only have so much margin, and you have to get everything done within a certain amount of time. So in the computer world, you can call it bandwidth, whatever. But there were two people from Columbia University back in the 60s who wrote an article in this magazine, this liberal rag called The Nation, and they called it The Weight of the Floor, A Strategy to End Poverty. It's the Cloward Piven strategy. And what they basically said, their premise was, let's tax the system as much as we can until it collapses. And then out of the ashes and the rubble, we can build our new utopian society where the individual has been replaced with the collective we. And that's essentially what they're trying to do. So I'm seeing this trend. And, you know, every system has a designed load limit. Every system gets to the point where it's going to collapse on itself. I think we're getting close to that. But right now, it's time to change gears, because it's time for one of our new segments called Ken's Corner. Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started. Yes, let's get started. So any of you that have been following me for any amount of time knows that I got my start back in the 80s. It just didn't feel right. Things weren't right. There was that splinter in my mind, like that famous passage talks about out of The Matrix. And so I started to investigate, and then I stumbled on William Cooper, and I started to learn about state societies. And they have a term in the trade, in the craft, referred to as being hoodwinked. So I've been listening to all of this going on this year, and I've been saying to myself, you know, the people are being hoodwinked in the big time, beyond anything that I could ever imagine. And it brought to mind another term, being gaslighted. And they both mean to be deceived or tricked. And then along comes this article, thank you, Sister Kathy, and it was out of strangesounds.org on the 9th, oh, the 15th of September. You are being gaslighted. Did you know that? It's exactly what I've been thinking, folks. It's exactly what I've been thinking. So I just want to share a little bit of this out of the article. But this term came from a play that was written back in 1938 called Gaslight. And there were film adaptations, and I think I may have had to read that in school because I knew that term gaslighting, but I can't remember where it came from. Anyways, in this story, in this play, this husband is trying to convince his wife and others that she's insane. So what he does is he manipulates a certain element in her environment. And this is back before they had electric lights. So they had gas lights. And what he would do every day, ever so subtly, is he'd turn the light down a little bit more, a little bit more. And she started to say to him, it seems like it's not quite as bright in the home anymore. And he'd say, no, honey, everything's the same. And she would repeatedly ask her husband to confirm that her perception of the dimmed lights was in fact real. But he would deny it. And he tried to convince her that she was going insane. And in these days, we're living in that state of being hoodwinked or gaslit. You know, reality that the media reports is at complete odds with what we see with our own eyes. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. That's exactly the outcome desired by Project Mockingbird, the CIA established back in the 50s, to have nobody understand what the truth is. So when we question the false reality being presented to us by the mainstream media, the fourth estate, they claim that we are actually BS crazy. But folks, you're not a racist. You're not crazy. You're being gaslighted. New York State has twice as many deaths from COVID-19 as any other state. New York City accounted for 1/5 of all the COVID-19 deaths. Yet we're being told that New York Governor Cuomo handled this pandemic better than any other governor. And if we support the policies of some of the more conservative governors that opened up states and only had a fraction of the cases, somehow we're anti-science and we want people to die. So are we crazy? No. You're just being gaslighted. You know, we see mobs of people looting stores, smashing windows, setting cars on fire, burning down buildings, and we're told that these demonstrations are peaceful protests. Of our city riots, we're being called racists. Are we crazy? No, we're being gaslighted, hoodwinked. These problems that are destroying our inner cities, this taxing of the system, like I said, the gang violence, the drug dealing, the drive-by shootings, the armed robberies, we're told that these problems in inner cities are all because of the police. And we're being told that we must defund the police, remove law enforcement to make them safer and better. And if we advocate for the men in blue, if we talk about the thin blue line being held by our law enforcement people all across the country, we're being accused of being white supremacists. Are we? No, we're being gaslighted. You know, the U.S. accepts more immigrants than any other country in the world. The vast majority of them are, quote unquote, people of color. And they enjoy a freedom unheard of in their country. Yet, we're being called the most racist and oppressive country on the planet. If we disagree with their agenda for BLM, are you crazy? No, you're being gaslighted. Capitalist countries have created the most prosperity in the history of the world. The standard of living is the highest in countries that adopt laissez-faire economics. Yet we see poor people moving up the ladder. We see these success stories over and over again. Yet we're being called oppressive. Living in a system designed to keep people down. Are we crazy? No, we're being gaslighted. And the worst case of gaslighting that I've ever seen is this white privilege. Just by being white, we're racist. Really? Really? If you judge people in society based on their character and not their color, which I do, how can you be called racist? If you know instinctively that someone's doing something wrong and they happen to have more pigment in their skin than you, does that make you a racist? No. If you defend yourself because one of them are coming at you with a big machete, you racist? No. You're being told that when you defend yourself, you're a racist. But you're not crazy. You're being gaslighted. And it's happening right now on a level that I could never imagine before. Yet crazy people aren't sane enough to know they're crazy. So if you're questioning whether you're crazy or not, believe me, you're not crazy. Crazy people never question whether they're crazy. Take politicians, for example, Nervous Nancy, Lazy Joe, even Donald Trump. They never question their sanity. And some of the stuff I hear out of all their mouths, they drive me crazy. Never listen to people who tell you you're crazy. And you know why? Because you're not. You're being gaslighted. Or, as I like to say, hoodwinked. And here's some proof. This recently happened on Fox News. Newt Gingrich was on the lunchtime show, and I forget the name of the show, and he was talking about what's going on with BLM and the Antifa riots and all this other stuff, and there was an awkward moment in the interview, and what I'd like to do is play this interview for you, and we'll talk about it a little bit. Just listen to this. It's about a minute and a half long clip, and they're talking about what's going on, then Newt injects the Soros funding of all this, and just listen to what happens.
Whose lives have been destroyed by this violence.
Yeah, it's so true. They represent everybody, right? Speaker Gingrich, I know you have a final thought for us.
Yeah, look, the number one problem in almost all these cities is George Soros elected left-wing, anti-police, pro-criminal district attorneys who refuse to keep people locked up. Just yesterday, they put somebody back on the street who's wanted for two different murders in New York City. You cannot solve this problem, and both Harris and Biden have talked very proudly about what they call progressive district attorneys. Progressive district attorneys are anti-police, pro-criminal, and overwhelmingly elected with George Soros' money, and they're a major cause of the violence we're seeing because they keep putting the violent criminals back on the street.
I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this.
I was going to say you'd get the last word, Speaker.
He paid for it. I mean, why can't we discuss the fact that millions of dollars he spent?
I agree with Melissa. George Soros doesn't need to be a part of this conversation.
Okay. So it's verboten.
All right. We're going to. Okay, we're going to move on. A historic day at the White House. We covered it from stem to stem, stem to stern.
What a joke. Folks, did you hear that? Did you hear that? And then the next day, Harris Faulkner, the host, told Newt that he had the last word, yet she failed to allow him to have the last word. Listen to her lame apology the next day.
So we had a little incident on the show yesterday that was not smooth. And while I was leading that segment, we had an eruption, and I sat silently while all of that played out. Also not ideal. Our guest, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who is beloved and needed to be allowed to speak with the openness and respect that the show is all about, was interrupted. Do we debate with fire here? Yes. But we must also give each other the space to express ourselves. As the only original member of the six-year-old amazing daytime ride known as Outnumbered, I especially want to rock and roll with every voice and perspective at the table. We don't censor on this show, and that's why we're winning weekdays at noon.
I should play a laugh clip here. I don't have it queued up, though, folks. We don't censor here on Fox. Hey, back in 2018, there was a Judicial Watch head, Chris Farrell, who was a regular commentator on Lou Dobbs. And on one particular segment, and I don't have the date, but it was back in 2018, he's talking about the Soros-occupied State Department. And he was dropped, never on the show again after that. And this statement came out. We condemn the rhetoric by the guest on Lou Dobbs' Tonight Show. This is Gary Schreier, Senior Vice President of Programming for Fox Business. And he said this in a statement, according to CNN. This episode was a repeat, which has now been pulled from all future airings. Hey, folks, you know, we think, oh, I watch Fox, I'm getting all of the right news. No, you're not. Oh, I watch CNN, I'm getting all the right news. No, you're not. This is a controlled narrative, folks. You're all playing within the sandbox. It's one level above subsistence living. So listen to a little short 29-second clip where Farrell calls out Soros, and then his career as a commentator on Fox News is all but over.
Sure. Look, this is a criminal involvement on the part of these leftist groups. It's highly organized, very elaborate, sophisticated operation. I have that from the highest levels of the Guatemalan government. They're investigating those groups criminally. And I strongly urge President Trump and Attorney General Sessions to do the same here. A lot of these folks also have affiliates who are getting money from the Soros-occupied State Department, and that is a very great concern. You want to start cutting money, start cutting money there.
Do you know anything?
Okay, there was enough there. So he pinned it directly to Soros, and this has been documented, folks. Yet we don't talk about it. There are RICO, anti-racketeering laws out there that if you fund a group and they cross state lines and break a law, you're guilty of racketeering violations. RICO laws have been violated. Yet there's not one peep of this concerning the OpenSociety.org funded by George Soros. Why? I could go on and on about this. Are you seeing a trend here now with respect to the mainstream media? And that's why the president calls it fake news. But hold on to your hats, folks, because now it's time for our next episode. Back to the Future, where we take something from the past and apply it to today's freaky, deaky news headlines. So hold on to those hats, folks, because this is today's episode of Back to the Future. And I was looking through my vast library of the esoteric and the occult. And I'm going to give you what I simply refer to as Lucifer's Protocol Number 12. It's titled Control the Press. And Protocol 12 defines the word freedom as the right to do that which the law allows. And they say in this writing that by default, this notion of freedom will be useful to our agenda because all freedom will be in our hands because we write the laws. And since our laws will abolish or create only that which is desirable for our agenda, freedom will be contained by us. And then they go on to talk about the usefulness or the control of the press and how they're going to use it to excite and inflame these passions which are needed for their purpose to advance their agenda. Now, they admit the following. They admit that their purpose is dishonest and unjust and even deceitful, and that the majority of the public hasn't the slightest idea what ends the press, the mainstream media, actually serves. But the purpose of the mainstream media, the purpose of the press, is to keep a tight rein on the news. And how do they do this? By keeping a tight rein on the press. Can anyone say FCC, licensing? So what they do is they turn this news media, which is now basically cable news, a very lucrative income source for the state. Now, in this article, it was written 150. They use a tax stamp because they were referring to the printing press at the time. But what they do is they control the press. And by controlling the press, they control the people. They go on in Article 4 of Protocol 12, and they say that not a single announcement will reach the public without our control. Isn't that exactly what the priest, Father Altier, said? They want to flood the narrative. Isn't that exactly what they were doing with the whole COVID message? And then they go on in Article 5 to say that we have contrived to possess ourselves in the minds of the masses, the goyim, as they call them, to such an extent that they'll come to us looking for an explanation to the events that are occurring. And then they go on in Article 6 to say, let's again turn to the printing press, and it's the desire to become an instrument of thought to educate the masses at the hands of our government, which will no longer allow the mass of the nation to be led astray by ways and fantasies concerning our vision of progress. So then they continue in Articles 7, 8, all the way through to 19, and they talk about how they're going to destroy the free press. And it's all there, folks. And it's exactly the playbook that's unfolding right now. I could do a whole show on this. Isn't that what's happening today? But I don't know if you know where this came from, but I'm just going to call it Lucifer's Protocol Number 12. Okay? And you may be saying, well, I don't know if that's actually happening. How are you going to tie it to the future, to the present? Well, here's an article, or I should say an interview, on Tucker Carlson. It's a four-minute clip, and it's a whistleblower, a Chinese scientist. Just listen.
And we're going to do that again right now. Li Mengyan is the virologist who says she has evidence about where this pandemic actually came from. We're happy to have her on tonight. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, Tucker. Thank you.
I know that you've published some of your research. You're planning on publishing more soon. Give us, for a non-scientific audience, a summary of why you believe this virus came from a lab in Wuhan, please.
Okay, briefly, from my first report, I can present the solid scientific evidence to our audience that this virus, COVID-19 SARS-CoV-2 virus, actually is not from nature. It is a man-made virus created in the lab based on the China military discovered and owned the very unique bat coronavirus, which cannot affect people, but after the modification becomes a very harmful virus as now. So I have evidence to show why they can do it. what they have done. How did they do it?
So what you're saying is much more sinister even than we've suggested on this show than Tom Cotton, so than almost anyone suggested. You're saying that the Chinese government manufactured this virus, if I'm hearing you correctly. That's what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Based on the virus genome, it's basically like our fingerprint. So you can see the very unusual characters in their genome, which clearly, based on the other evidence they left during the modification, we can say finally this is exactly the one come from their own special bad coronavirus and then target human.
What you're alleging is shocking more even than I anticipated when we invited you on. So I just want to ask the most obvious question, which is this genome presumably is in the possession of many researchers around the world. Why is nobody saying this if it's true?
Yeah, why there is nobody want to say it? It's because of the big suppression come from the Chinese Communist Party government and also their friend in scientific world. So basically, this is very clearly that this virus is like Frankenstein. So he created those things like basically a cow has deer's head, has rabbit's ear, and also have monkey's hand. So they can never get it from the nature. And there were evidence left in the genome. But the scientific world also keeps silence, work together with Chinese Communist Party. They don't want the people to know this truth. Also, that's why I get suspended, I get suppression. I am the target that Chinese Communist Party want to be disappeared.
You're a brave person. I'm giving.
Okay, that's enough. I have to move on, but I hope you see the point. This has been documented by Italian scientists. This genome has been lab produced. Fact. Yet those articles, those scientific articles, are suppressed. They're actually retracted. Not because there's any question concerning the validity of the evidence, but it's going against the narrative. Remember, Father Altier said they're going to flood the media. They're going to control the narrative. And then this whistleblower, she gets deplatformed, exactly what Father Altier talked about. And then how about this week, Ty Green on YouTube puts out that image of the new coin concerning the Trump peace accord between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. And now I think Bahrain is in on the deal too. And I saw this comment on the YouTube page, and it really struck me. Did you know that MAGA is the fifth degree of the Church of Satan, the highest order that one can receive? It's MAGA or MAGUS, fifth degree. You can't make this stuff up, folks. And it reminds me of Revelation chapter 16, verse 2, that says, if one were asked to worship an image, it would only make sense to put it on a special coin, wouldn't it? Revelation 16:2. Listen to this. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men, which had the mark of the beast upon which they worshipped his image. So now we have this coin out to commemorate Trump and his peace accord. So who's the mastermind behind all this? What's really going on here? Well, last week we started a segment where we revealed Lucifer, okay? Also known as Satan, the serpent, also known as the devil. Ezekiel 28, verse 8. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths from them that are slain in the midst of the seas. And then let's continue with Ezekiel 28, verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. This is God talking directly to the cherub covering angel, Lucifer himself. Because of thy beauty, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. And isn't that what's happening now with wisdom? It's being corrupted. Truth is being slain in the streets. I'll cast thee to the ground. I'll lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. So last we looked at the first two of four key biblical truths concerning this fallen angel known as Lucifer. And we learned that he was created in perfection and corrupted through pride. So right now, let's get up and move through this real fast. But he has usurped power. God said, I'm going to cast you out of this holy place. And then in verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom because of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. So Satan was cast to heaven. And no sooner, folks, did he say, I will, this sword in rebellion, that Almighty God cast him from the holy place in the holy mountain in heaven. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. So Jesus was there when this happened, and this was eons before Bethlehem. That's proof right there that Jesus is divine. He had no beginning, and he has no end. So Jesus saw Lucifer being cast out of heaven. Yet today, by the express permission of God, Satan still continues with a usurped or illegitimate power. And read Ezekiel 28, verses 16 through 18 to see what I'm talking about there. Okay, because there God speaks about this process that begins as Satan's cast out from heaven, as Lucifer, I should say, is cast out from heaven and becomes the accuser. And finally, he's brought down to hell. But meanwhile, okay, Satan still has what I'll refer to as this illegitimate or usurped power. It's like a snake. When you cut the head off a snake, a rattlesnake, you know, you can still get bitten by the head of that rattler, and it'll still inject venom into you, and you'll still die. But that snake is technically dead. Well, it's the same thing here, folks. So the prince of this world, yet another alias for Satan, he is judged. Jesus didn't say he will be judged. Satan is judged. And now think about this. Back at the beginning of history, his story in Genesis, God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth. But Satan, after being cast out from heaven, came down as a con artist. And the story's told to you as the serpent and Eve in Genesis 3. And he uses some talking points, just like the mainstream media does today. And what's he do? He talks Adam and Eve out of their dominion. And that's exactly what the mainstream media is doing today with our sovereignty as a free people. Folks, con artists, just like the serpent who beguiled Eve. So Adam and Eve, they were duped and turned over everything that God gave them, legally and lawfully, to Satan. And they became slaves to Satan. And likewise, so are all of their offspring. And folks, that includes you and me. You know, people say we're made in the image of God. No, Genesis 5 tells us we're made in the image of Adam. And what's Adam's image? The lights are out. No oil in the lamp, no direction for the soul, no purpose or functionality for the body. The Bible says the whole world lieth in the bosom of the wicked one, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. So by nature, we're all children of wrath because Adam and Eve turned over their legal and lawful power and authority here on earth to that evil one called Satan. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, I don't know if Satan really has all that power on earth. Well, just listen to these scriptures, and then you decide. John chapter 14, verse 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. Passage, Jesus is saying that Satan is the prince of the world. But he's also saying, there's no itch on me that devil can scratch. Then in Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, I think it's the first book. I didn't write it down. The apostle Paul calls Satan the god of this world. Now, the word god is a little g here. Appropriate because Satan literally is the little god of this world. And again, in Ephesians 6, verse 12, Paul speaks about the rulers of darkness. Now, this means that Satan is the commander-in-chief of a vast army of baddies, of villains, of spirit beings and fallen angels, also known as demons, who rebelled with him against God and are now in full allegiance with him. And you can call them his minions. They do his bidding, and they include people here on earth right now, especially people in politics, finance, big business, and the media. And they all support his globalized New World agenda, which is being advanced by the World Economic Forum. And we talked about that last week. So right now, at this very moment, Satan has his reign of terror. It's dominating this world. How? Through his minion, which include the World Economic Foundation, the governments of this world, the bankers of this world, the mainstream media. You know, these people are Satan's minion. And remember when Satan said to Jesus, fall down and worship me because all these kingdoms have been given to me? Think about it. Jesus didn't argue with them. Jesus didn't say, well, they're not yours to give, Satan, because Jesus knew that Adam and Eve lawfully and legally delivered it all over to Satan after they got conned by him in the fall that's given to us in Genesis 3. So Satan, he usurped this power as a con artist. So he did it legally, although it might not be lawful. It's legal, just like it's legal to kill a baby in a mother's womb. It may not be lawful, but it's legal, and Satan did it legally. Yet Jesus refused to worship him, but he didn't deny his usurped power. So that's what's wrong with the world today. And listen to this out of Acts chapter 10, verse 38, which speaks of those oppressed of the devil. And then how about this in Luke chapter 13, verse 16, speaks of those whom Satan has bound. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul uses the term the messenger or minion of Satan. So today, Satan has this reign of terror, and he's the chief terrorist, and he employs subversion, perversion, diversion, and fake news. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He divides. He wants to depress. He wants to destroy, folks. Bottom line, depression and oppression, they all come from the devil. Have you ever wondered why there's such a war on the unborn? Just open your Bible and read about the ancient god Moloch. Moloch had fire in his belly, and he had open arms. And in order to please this pagan god, mothers had to take their newborn babies and toss them into the fire. And they did. Satan's always hated children, folks. Think about Pharaoh. He killed the babies in Egypt. What did Herod do over in Bethlehem? Killed the babies. And today, we have Planned Parenthood. What's it do? It kills babies. So Satan's waging a war. And this war is on the unborn. He hates children, folks. He hates the innocent. So Planned Parenthood, this whole abortion movement, they're just old gods with new names. But don't despair, because we're not hopeless and helpless. That's why Jesus came. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children, that's you and me, folks, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, that's Jesus, likewise took part of the same, that which though death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So what's going on there? Well, Jesus became flesh and blood so that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and that's the devil. You know, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. Now, I know it sounds pagan and it sounds archaic, but that's the way God set it up, folks. I didn't do it. God did. Now, this Greek word to destroy used here, when Jesus came to die in your place and mine, and through his death destroy him who had the power of death, the devil. So the word destroy in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, doesn't mean to obliterate, okay? It means to make of none effect. So Jesus didn't obliterate the devil. Jesus took away his authority. Now, Adam gave it to Satan legally. In other words, it was legally lost. Jesus legally took it back by his death, burial, and resurrection. When Jesus went to the cross, hell had its holiday, folks. It did. And then Jesus said, it is finished. And they were finished. But Jesus isn't finished, folks. The power of Satan and his authority is. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible reads, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. That's Jesus triumphing over them in it. That's in his death, folks. So Jesus spoiled these principalities and powers. How? By his death. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. This is what we're dealing with now with the mainstream media, okay? These principalities and powers, they're headed up by none other than the devil himself. And they're decimating this earth. How? By death, by doubt, by unbelief. Yet the burial, resurrection, and ascension into heaven of the Lord Jesus Christ is the victory. So the bottom line is, the power of Satan has been stripped. His regal garb has been taken away from him. He's no longer like that angel described in Ezekiel 28. But not only has he been stripped, he's been shamed. Jesus has spoiled the principalities and powers. That's what Paul wrote. Therefore, in each and every one of yours and my life as Christians, Satan has been defeated. He's been vanquished. But not only has he been vanquished, okay? He's legally powerless in your life and mine. And any power that he may exercise over you or me, it's merely usurped. Oh, folks, if I could only get you to understand this, you'd be living in victory. You'd be empowered. The truth is that Satan has no power over you or me in our lives as blood-bought Christians. None. But Satan doesn't want you to know this. The truth is that you're no longer a victim. You're a victor because you share in the victor's spoils. So you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. But Satan doesn't want you to understand this. Satan's back was broken at Calvary, folks. He's sailing a sinking ship. He's ruling a doomed dominion. And Satan said, I give you, that's you and me, all power and all authority over the enemy. I need an amen for that, folks. The Bible says, in nothing be terrified by your adversary. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. Now, we can still be put to death for Jesus Christ. Don't get deceived here. You can still die for Jesus. That'll be Satan's biggest mistake. The Bible says they overcame him, that's the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. So in Jesus, we have victory. In Jesus, we have conquered sin and death. Thanks be to God who causes us always to triumph in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. So we're not helpless victims, folks. So quit saying the devil made you do it. He hasn't and he can't. Now, you can fail to use the authority that God's given you, and if you do, you're going to have big problems. Remember, the Lord says, behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Now, that doesn't mean that we're bigger and we're stronger and we're wiser than the devil. No, but Jesus is. And the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. So now I want to wrap this up with the fourth and final point here. Satan is consigned to the pit, folks. It says in verse 8 of Ezekiel 28, they shall bring thee down to the pit. And then listen to verses 18 and 19. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. I shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So that doesn't mean he won't exist anymore. It simply means that he's never going to terrorize people again. Amen? So it's over for Satan, folks. And there's a time coming where we're going to look at him down in that pit, and we're going to say, he's the one that made nations tremble, that little worm? What's this message all about? Why am I sharing this with you? Well, the bottom line, folks, is choose your sides carefully. Because if you follow Satan, you're going to end up with him. Now, the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. In other words, it wasn't prepared for you and me. Read Matthew 25, verse 41. You'll see what I mean. So if you go to hell, you're actually going to be an intruder. You're not invited there. But if you follow Satan and this stinking thinking, you're going to end up there with him. Plus, terrified by Satan. And in the same sense, don't be cavalier or careless about him either. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion. Like a roaring lion, okay? Seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Just remember that in Jesus, you have all authority. So use it. Then understand what the real war is all about. This battle's not flesh and blood. It's not against Antifa and BLM. The battle is with the principalities and powers in high places. There's a manipulation going on here that's very deep, folks. It's an occult type of methodology. And a lot of times we lose the war simply because we don't show up for the battle. So let me ask you a question, folks. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, Satan has you right now as his plaything, a puppet on his string as he pulls them. And one of these days, you'll join him in hell. Now, a lot of people, they say, well, the devil's going to rule in hell, isn't he? No, he's not. He's not going to rule in hell, folks. The devil's going to hell to suffer. So don't get the idea somehow that Satan is the king of hell, the principality of hell ruling in hell. No, he doesn't rule in hell. He's a usurper here on earth, but his back's been broken, and he has no power, That is if you trust in Jesus. So remember, Jesus came to destroy the power of Satan. He came to deliver you, and he came to set you free from all of this. He came to give you peace and power and forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven. But he's not going to force it on you, folks. That same God, cherub Lucifer, all power of choice, gives you that same power to choose. So choose this day whom ye shall serve, folks. And if you'd like to be saved, say a prayer like this. Now, just know one thing. The prayer doesn't save you. Jesus does. But just call out to God. God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I want to be saved. Jesus, you died for me. I know that because the Bible tells me so. You promised to save me if I'd trust in you. So I do trust you, Lord Jesus. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you paid my sin debt in full by the blood shed on the cross. And I believe that God raised you from the dead, seated you at your right hand, where you now rule with all power and authority. And if I receive you in my life right now as Lord and Savior, if I give my life over to you, if I put my hands up and forsake all and trust you, I believe that you'll welcome me home to heaven. And I'll hear those words, well done, good and faithful service. So, Lord, I give my life over to you. Receive me as I surrender to you as Lord and Savior. Save me, Lord Jesus. Now, if you pray that and if you meant it, the Lord Jesus is working in your life right now. So, folks, just never give up. Never give up, as Winston Churchill said.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. And I'll be back next week with another message, provided the Lord willing. But until then, stay the
course. We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.